Hello, and thanks for joining Wicker Park Lutheran Church Sermons. Wicker Park Lutheran Church is a diverse ELCA Lutheran congregation in the Wicker Park neighborhood of Chicago. We gather at 10 a.m. to fully live into our incarnational faith as we experience God's presence in the gathered assembly, and we welcome you to join us. In just a moment, you'll first hear with a gospel reading from the associated sermon for the service that you're about to listen to. We hope that that gospel gives you some context before you jump right into the sermon. Thanks for checking us out, and we hope to see you soon.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
After this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them on ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go. Jesus said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. Go on your way. See, I am sending you out like lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace to this house.' And if anyone is there who shares in peace, your peace will rest on that person. But if not, it will return to you. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide, for the laborer deserves to be paid. Do not move from house to house, and whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, eat what is set before you. Cure the sick who are there and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not welcome you, go out into the streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe it off in protest against you.' Yet know this, the kingdom of God has come near. Whoever listens to me and whoever rejects you rejects me. And whoever rejects me rejects the one who sent me." Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, in your name even the demons submit to us." Jesus said to them, "I watched Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning. See, I have given you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions and over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing will hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice at this." That is, that the spirits submit to you, but rather rejoice that your names are written in heaven. The Gospel of the Lord. So as I look around this morning, I know I got a few pastors in the crowd. So when I say that there is a class called homiletics in seminary, some of you will be like, "Yep, been there, done that, taken that." For others of you, it'll be like, "What in the world is homiletics?" And so basically, it's a fancy term, because we like to get complicated in the church, for exploring the art of preaching and writing sermons. And I have to say, as a pastor, one of the most common questions that I get is, how in the world do you, pastor, come up with something to say every single week? And it's true, I sometimes explain this whole sermon thing as a weekly TED Talks of sorts. But the homiletician, or the one who prepares to preach, always begins with something very specific, and that is the scriptures. The scriptures then speak to the context in which we find ourselves. So, one of the many, many, many techniques for beginning a sermon is to look at the text and note what sticks out for some further discovery, for some further work. Now, it could stick out for a variety of different ways. Maybe it sticks out because it's grating on your belief system. Maybe it's sticking out because it's something that, like, affirms your current beliefs, and you're like, "I'm going to take this to my family at the Thanksgiving table and show them. Here it is." Sometimes it could stick out as something odd, or maybe it just sticks out for some unknown reason to you. Now, today I'm going to invite you to put on your homiletical hat and give the gospel lesson another read. And I want to know what sticks out to you. What sticks out to you? So take a moment, look at today's gospel again. You've got it in your bulletin. Think of something that might stick out to you. And I'm just going to ask you to share. You don't have to explain why it sticks out to you. Just, hey, this particular verse or this word stuck out to me. And I'm going to give you just a minute to do that.
And for those of you who stared at me blankly saying, this is not a Bible study, this is supposed to be a sermon, what are you doing to me today? This is called summertime, and that means the pastor can do whatever the pastor wants on summertime. No, that's right. But that means I'm going to call on you and see, because you've got something in your head. But actually, just anyone will just kind of let me know what kind of sticks out to you. I'm curious what in today's text sticks out to you. There's a lot going on there. And I'm going to let those who haven't taken a homiletics class go first. So,
But whenever you enter a town and they do not welcome you, go out into its streets and say, even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off in protest against you.
Can you go one more verse too?
Yet know this, the kingdom of God has come near.
Okay, cool. So that kind of stuck out. I thought that might stick out to some of you in there, but did you notice? I think the next verse is really key for me in that one, right? But yet, even in the midst of the fact that you're being kind of nasty to us, the kingdom of God is still near, regardless of what you're going to do to me. So, anyway, that's not one of the things that stuck out to me, but I thought it would stick out to some of you. What else?
So, I think the thing that stuck out to me was the reminder about even his disciples are prideful, and they kind of like the power that he's given to them. And he has to remind them once again, that's really not the point.
Yeah. Which is kind of the third section, which something that stuck out to me as well. So we're going to dig into that a little bit more. Let's get one more, and then we're going to get Denise. Or we won't do one more, and then we'll just go to Denise. Tara, I saw your hand next.
Yeah, so it says, to go into the town, just whatever house you enter, peace be upon this house. It doesn't like no asking for permission, just going in and then taking whatever they give to you. But also for the labor deserves to be paid. So those two things.
Yeah. That one sticks out. Maybe a trespassing law there.
I was just going to say the carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one.
Yeah.
I take stuff with me everywhere. Like I couldn't imagine just go like with nothing.
Yeah. Especially as many of us travel over the summer. Can you imagine? I mean, at least you wouldn't have checked bag fees, right? So there's something good with that. Maybe it was a cost-effective model. Yeah. So for me, I think there are three things that stuck out. One of them was where Gail was going for this. But I think for me, I see this text kind of in three different sections. So first section is kind of the first three verses, and it kind of talks about, which was interesting that nobody really went towards this one here, but I think this first section is key, verses 1-3, talking about how the people are sent, right? And what strikes me is that God's work is meant to be done in community. That is, going in pairs to the places that Jesus will also go. So God's work is meant to be we're meant to do God's work in community. It's not that we're sending people out singularly, but instead of pairs. And Jesus, I think, knows that we're going to need a little support and help and work to proclaim love and justice and peace. We all know that this world can be a horrific and evil place where we can feel targeted and rejected in our work to love, like you brought up a little bit of like kicking off the dust on our feet. We can feel that rejection. It's easy then to slip into that retribution instead of restoration. It's more simplistic to retaliate than to reconcile. So in our work together, I think what Jesus is saying is that we need support from one another, and we also need some accountability. It's not just to go out there and do whatever we want, but Jesus mentions that we are to be sent into the places that Jesus was already planning to go. It's very particular. It's the places that I'm planning to go, not the places that you want to go. Instead of going on a vacation to Hawaii, maybe it's looking at where Jesus is going and where Jesus mentioned in his very first sermon in Luke, where he said that his whole ministry, the places that he would go would be places among the poor, the prisoner, the closed-minded, and the oppressed. Which I don't know about you, is anybody planning to go to the Cook County Prison for vacation this year? Nope, didn't think so. How about anybody planning on going and staying and spending some time at a homeless shelter for your vacation this summer? Not me either. But the thing is that we are sent to work for God's love in the midst of uncomfortable places. Uncomfortable places like conversations around privilege. Or how about we are sent to work for justice in a racist culture, to work for peace in a militarized world, and to work for the love of all people without exception. And the thing is the way that we're sent in pairs, the way that we're sent in community, is right there at the baptismal font, which is exactly what happened to Silas moments ago. Here we gathered in this place and we said, we are here to embody love and grace and welcome that our God first gave at that font. We come here to be together as one, to strive as one, and to become more than we could ever be alone. Okay, so first section, verses 1 through 3. The second section, I think, is verses like 4 through 16, and I think that's where this comes into play, because this part describes the countercultural values that we take on as people of faith. So even in the midst of kicking off the dust off of our shoes, we still remind people that the reign of love is coming here. And I have to say that this is almost kind of feels like a value that isn't really American. You know, it's been a value, though, that has actually been a large part of America from the beginning. You see, this person of Luke is arguing for an acknowledgement of dependence and interconnectivity. It's saying that we should accept the support and help of our work to bring about God's ideal world. That's why you don't need a purse or a bag. That's why you can walk into a place for peace, because it's dependence, which is kind of a weird thing to think about, dependence on Independence Day weekend, right? We often, though, forget that Independence Day came after the pilgrims and the pioneers had to be so dependent on each other and the native peoples for survival in this new place. As one indigenous educator notes, we forget that native peoples taught the Europeans how to smoke and dry indigenous meat and fish, and how to plant the three sisters, that is, corn, beans, and squash. They also taught how to navigate from place to place by water and over land, how to tan hides used for clothing, how to identify toxic plants and berries, and they explained the medicinal and cultural use of indigenous herbs. But, I mean, that's not it. So too, we forget that the early Europeans, they settled and established commonwealths. The Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, where I lived for a while, which are those places where the good of any one individual was linked to the good of the whole. Or how about one more time, we forget that Benjamin Franklin, right before signing the Declaration of Independence, noted that we must indeed all hang together, or most assuredly we shall hang separately. For we so often forget that we are all deeply connected by systems and values and our shared world and resources and by our Creator. Instead, we've been conned time and again to believing alternate values focused on rugged individualism, on radical independence, and on being a self-made person. Yet you see, our God says that that is an evil fantasy that is at odds with all of Christianity. For instead, Jesus reminds us today that to accept interdependence and the gifts that it brings is fundamental to being a Christian. To be open to serving and to be served, that is the role of a Christian. For to be vulnerable to be uncomfortable. That is being a Christ follower. All right, so finally, we get to that last section where we discover how that vulnerability will help keep us focused. You see, for our work, as Gail mentioned, is not done for self-gratification or self-glorification. Rather, the work that we do together is part of something much larger. For heaven is not this faraway place, this afterlife place. It's not something for after death. Rather, heaven is something that we yearn for here and now in this world. It is both the glimpses of God's vision today and the hope for the full realization of God's love, justice, and peace in our death and in our life. And if we wanted to use some fancy Lutheran terms to talk about that, we would say that we believe God's reign, or we could say, or heaven, or we could say the kingdom of God, or we could say the kingdom of God, or however you want to say it, it is all already here, but not fully realized. And sometimes we preachers like to simplify that phrase into the already but not yet nature of God's reign. And you see, what all that fanciness means is that we are a part of a larger movement. We are a part of a larger movement that is God's movement. It's not our own actions that bring about God's vision, but it is God working through us. It is a gift from God that has practical implications for how we live and how we act. For as Lutheran Christians, we don't withdraw ourselves to hunker down and wait for some second coming that will save us, but instead we acknowledge that our God has already set us free from those thoughts and actions that separate us from realizing God's justice and peace. And so here at Wicker Park Lutheran and in our lives, we rejoice not in what we are doing, but in God's larger movement. We rejoice not in the church's publicity that follows a hate crime, but rather how through an act of hate, God's love was given a bit of a boost in the world. We celebrate not the ways that we have grown this congregation together, but rather how God's larger work is connecting with a generation and a demographic that may have altogether missed God's vision of love. For here, we as a church, we continue to actively support a woman and her 11-year-old child that I met this week. They came to us because they saw we were an immigrant welcoming congregation. They came here, her not speaking a lick of English, and the young 11-year-old translating for her mom, looking for a place to stay, a place for shelter and food. And we do that work not because we want to self-gratify of how good we are and how enlightened we are as people of faith, but we do this work because we know that Jesus was a refugee. We acknowledge that Jesus welcomed the immigrant and the outsider, the foreigner, and the person who was a little bit different. And we remember a God who works beyond borders and among the outsider. And so, too, we go where God goes, with all the discomfort, with all of the challenges, for we know that we are sent not alone, but together as God's children. All right, so here's the summary paragraph. If I lost you, this is where you're going to come back to me. Before we sing, or you take a snooze during the meditation, which I hope you're meditating on the scripture. But to each their own. The kingdom of God is still here regardless of you snooze during meditation time or not. That was a joke. I thought that you would get that. That was so sad. That's why my boyfriend says, just stick with what you have written. You're much funnier if you just stick with what you have written. So here we are. So friends, there it is. We are given God's vision for how we might work in God's name, not in our own name, but in God's name. We are reminded that we are never alone in that work, for we are children of God at that baptismal font. We are shaped by our interconnectivity with God and with one another that cannot be separated. And we are sent. We are sent to get out of this place because the real work, the real place where we start being reflections of God's love is outside of these walls. For we have been given a gift with God's love, a gift that we are supported with one another in love. And so thanks be to God for sending us out to be a part of this already but not quite yet there vision of God's love for all. Amen.